Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Please take the safety buckle, pull it all the way across your laps, make sure it clicks in on the side, then give it a nice little pull and a tug to make sure it's in securely. Very good. You are now ready for the show. Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. And today was just one of those days where everywhere you looked, a big heaping story was coming your way, where it was out of college football, the National Hockey League, the NBA. You know, here we are minding our own business saying, okay, tonight's going to be a night where college football is going to be king because of the postponements and the conferences that are going to go try to play, which we're going to get to in a minute. But then tonight, sports decided to say, hey, don't forget about us actually on the field and playing. The fourth longest NHL playoff game of all time was just decided. The Lightning win it in quintuple overtime over the Columbus Blue Jackets, 3-2. They take a one-game-to-none lead in their playoff series. The game goes so long that the Hurricanes and the Bruins, who I'm ready to watch, going, yeah, but it's going to be on during the show tonight. It's going to be great. I'm going to get to watch the Hurricanes and the Bruins. No, no. They were waiting to get on the ice. So it's kind of like, you know, travel hockey. Oh, this game's going long. We get postponed a little bit. We're going to play when they're done. The game went so long, they postponed the Hurricanes-Bruins game to Wednesday morning. They're going to play at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time because of this quintuple overtime game. That was insanity. And you think that's all we had? Damian Lillard decided to say, oh, you think that's great? You like that? You like that little quintuple overtime game? You like that? That's pretty cool, right? Oh, look at this. Hockey, they're playing a long time. Yeah, yeah. Baseball players complain about doubleheaders, blah, blah. Goalie had 85 saves, slacker. Yeah, yeah, blah, blah. How about I'm going to drop 61 in the bubble and continue to make my team the story of the NBA bubble? Oh, Damian Lillard.
Dame, defended by Finney Smith. Dribbles behind his back. Comes around from behind a screen. Defended by Kleba now. Crosses over. He's going to take a three over Kleba for the tie and buries it!
Blazers Radio Network on the call. Unconscious is being kind to Damian Lillard. 61 points. He made a three late in the fourth quarter to tie the game. That was one of those quintessential Damian Lillard from 40 feet. I don't care. I'm going to throw it up because I know I can make it. So that's kind of like, I think, where LaMelo Ball gets it from. And he throws it up and it bounces hard off the back of the rim. And you're going, oh, it's bouncing out of bounds. Going to be embarrassing. Drops right through the hoop. Portland wins again. Portland beats the Dallas Mavericks in a game they had to have, 134-131, because the Suns win again. They've won their seventh in a row in the bubble, and these have been two best teams so far, without a doubt, Steve. And suddenly it's, maybe we got the seedings wrong.
The Phoenix Suns, you say.
Yeah, maybe Phoenix should be seeded first in the playoffs, then Portland, and the Lakers should go in as the eighth seed. Maybe that's how it should go.
You know, at the bubble next door, they're finishing up that MLS month-long tournament, and the soccer people are saying, this Orlando team barely won a game, and now they come to this bubble, and then they're in the finals. And here the Phoenix Suns, when's the last time they even had a seven game winning streak? What is going on here?
It is absolute insanity in the bubble. Look, this is what we've been waiting for the games to really start to mean something. We're coming to the end of the bubble this weekend, and then we're going to have the 8-9 games, and we're all just sitting here praying it's going to be Portland and Phoenix, because these games are going to be 185-184, and we are at halftime.
And the winner this weekend plays the Lakers. Remember, the Lakers are the top seed in the West.
Yeah, Blazers. Lakers are going, ooh, maybe we want to skate. Anyway, oh, boy.
You remember last night on the show when we said, okay, if it's Portland, boy, two guards could score 30 points. And tonight we said, well, one guard could score 60 if they go up against the Lakers. That got proved tonight. Again, you know, he'd had, what, five 50-point games this year and 10 in his career. And then, you're right, he just says, step aside, here's 61 for you, and they win a close game.
I just love the lack of conscience that he has when he's 40 feet from the basket. He just says, blanket. I'm going to shoot it. Why? Because I got 5 feet between me and the defender. Oh, okay, sure.
Because I'm open, coach. Yeah. That's why.
I was wide open. You were standing next to me. I'm on the sideline. Yeah, but I was open. I mean, I'm going to make that
Well,
shot.
If you're a scorer, which he is, and a shooter, you understand. There is the famous story of Wilt Chamberlain. Late, you know, he played with the Lakers for years late in his career, and they had a late game situation, and Pat Riley took the last shot for the Lakers and missed. And they go to a quiet locker room, and Wilt Chamberlain is staring daggers at Pat Riley. And Riley speaks up and says, "What? I was open." And Wilt says, "Why do you think you were open?" That is not the case with the scorers.
It is down to now Memphis, Portland, Phoenix, and San Antonio, still all with a shot at the 8-9 seed. Memphis, Portland, Phoenix have 39 losses. San Antonio's got 38 losses, but they have a couple more games to play. So this is going to, I mean, we could have tiebreakers upon tiebreakers. We could have a tiebreaker for the 8-9 game. We may have to play 10-11 games to get to the 10-9 game, to get to the 9-8 game.
Remember, they did decide before these eight games in Orlando to finish the regular season how they would do a tiebreaker, knowing with an uneven number of total games on the season, they weren't going to go, okay, how many games under 500 are you each? No, no, no. Winning percentage is how it's decided, because among these teams that you're talking about for the 8-9 seeds, they're not all going to finish with the exact same number of games played for the total season.
No, and congratulations to the NBA for lucking into this, because the whole reason they did this was to get the Pelicans in, who have now been eliminated from playoff.
Yeah, contention. And they're not playing Zion Williamson tonight, and they're not playing Brandon Ingram, and they're not playing Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, we're doing all this to get you guys in so you get in the playoffs. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, but we don't really care. Oh, well, you should have told us that. We could have just sent the top eight teams in each conference. Thanks a lot. So we'll have more on the NBA as the night progresses. Huge, huge night. Like I said, you get 61 from Damian Lillard. We get a 5-overtime NHL game. But clearly the story of the day is what has gone on in college football, as what we expected went down. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten have both decided to postpone their fall sports seasons, including college football, to the spring. In fact, the Pac-12 going so far as to postpone college basketball as well until at least January 1st. What's going to happen next? What's the next domino to fall? The SEC and the ACC still say their football plans remain unchanged. They're still going forward as of now. The Big 12 as well is still targeting a fall football season. So while these meetings are set to happen over the next couple of days between the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, right now they're looking towards trying to find a way to play. And the thing is today, now, no matter what we get, we're going to have a different kind of college football season. And the fact that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten aren't going to be able to play, and it's going to get messy. Look, it sucks. All right. It's a tough decision. It's a tough day. We can't say this was something we didn't think was coming. College football was always the sport most in danger of having their season affected by COVID-19. It sucks. It really does. But why did it happen? It's pretty easy. And if you put yourself in the shoes of a school president, a board of regents, you can understand why. It's about safety and liability. All right, because schools are going to make decisions based on what's best for them. And some schools make decisions based on the fact that, boy, the football program makes us $30 million a year. Some schools make a decision based on the fact that, well, the football program doesn't really pay for all our sports like That's it right. does at other places. We would kind of rather be safe with our players if there's not a big monetary benefit. So it's not all altruistic that everybody's choosing just safety over football, but it's about what schools are comfortable with taking on. And the liability aspect, I understand where some schools say, you know what, we're just not comfortable. We don't want to be that school. I understand that when younger people are going to be healthier and the percentages, they have a better chance of recovering from COVID-19, and that's certainly true, but it doesn't mean that no one can die from it or get really sick, or your coaches can get sick. You don't want the coaching staff to get COVID-19. They're older. People they come in contact with, referees. That's a real big liability issue. And if it's found at some point that, hey, one player tested positive for COVID-19 and somehow that didn't get in and they were allowed to play and other schools got infected, a coach did or a player did, and they wind up getting really sick. Mm-hmm. You talk about liability, you're suddenly that school. regents, presidents, whatever you want to say, CEOs of whatever kind of administrative title you want to put on whoever runs colleges and universities, it's about the liability they are comfortable with. And the Big Ten and the Pac-12 weren't comfortable with the liability. Is some of it breaking down across political lines? Sure they are. You're seeing that across the country. That's the way it is. It's breaking down politically the way that things have been broken down as far as opening up states. But the bottom line is, no matter what you want to say, well, we get political push here, we get comfort. It's about how do we keep the doors open to the school forever. We don't want to have to shutter our doors because suddenly you're the school that let people play college football and X and Y happened and now no one wants to go there anymore. Nobody wants that to happen. And this is the decision that was made from the people in charge of the universities. And the thing that I take away from this, Steve, is that we've mentioned this before. Today you saw the disconnect that exists between the upper echelon of school management and sports programs. All right, for us, for all the sports fans, everybody who listens to us, and we all want sports. We want college football to play. We're very vibrant about it. We want football. The coaches want to play. The players want to play. We want the season. Everybody wants the season. And we get caught up in football pays for a lot of things, so you kind of have to have the season. And then you get this decision with the Big Ten specifically, in which they only met for the first time yesterday about college football and how they could play. This should show you where schools view sports programs when it comes to the university. That sometimes, yes, this football program's the entire school. Sometimes it's just an arm of the school. It's one of the things we have going on. All right. Remember back when Michigan State was going through the Larry Nassar situation and all that horrendously tragic story of what happened to all the gymnasts that were abused under his care, doctor at Michigan State. What was Michigan State going to do? And after they had their first meeting, one of the regents was quoted as saying, "We didn't only talk Larry Nassar for a couple of minutes. We got other bigger things to talk about here."
Wow.
Which was how could you say that? But this shows you what do we got to deal with at our meeting today? Well, we have this. We have an endowment. We have this. Yeah, Larry Nassar. Okay, let's figure that out. Sometimes there is a big disconnect, which is what is important to us and important to coaches and players and what's important to the university. I mean, that look at what kind of reaction did Ohio State have with Urban Meyer when everything went down with him and the school and the coach who was accused of domestic violence and there was evidence of it and all the way they kind of backed away from it. That's kind of what it is. Sometimes it's not viewed like we want it to view as. You know, presidents don't go into meetings wearing hats and T-shirts that Nick Saban got them saying, "Hey, let's go, let's get ready to play." Sometimes it's this university. Yeah, football makes us some money, but we're not comfortable. We're going to figure out what the learning is for the students who come in who pay $50,000 a year to come to the school. They're the ones we got to make sure are safe because they're the ones that are going to keep our door open because they pay us to come here. So that's the people we want to make sure we take care of. It's a big disconnect between what we think is important for some colleges and how colleges value what it is. And that's a really stark reminder of what we saw today.
You mentioned so many meetings. It was in the Big 12, for example, a board of directors meeting tonight. And then separately afterwards, there's a Big 12 athletic directors meeting tonight. But yeah, the Yahoo report is that Big 12 will try to continue to play football this fall. The Pac-12 announcement is all sports in the league, including basketball, are postponed through January 1st. I wonder if they picked that date because that, if they'd said through 2020, some people would say, "Oh, maybe we can have a Rose Bowl." You know how people would. Oh, January 1st. They didn't say no on January 1st. No, through January 1st, all Pac-12 sports. That's a no. And Pac-12, you know how different region to region the virus and its reactions are. You know, it's kind of like in the world, not only government's reactions, but the virus's penetration in communities. It seems like the Pac-12 had legitimate reasons for saying we're uncomfortable with continuing the idea of starting football next month because, as they put it, at many of their communities, that is in Pac-12 territory, the number of virus cases exceeds the levels that officials deem safe enough for group sports to play. Forget about the details of how you play a contact like this. Sport like this, as we brought up on last night's show, they haven't even started fall practice, that type of contact yet. So as far as the, and I'm glad we're talking about this again, as far as the image that how could you say no to playing football, it's such a cash cow, at half the places it's not. Example, Indiana actually had a good season and got to go to the Gator Bowl. So they are paying for all their players to go travel to Jacksonville for the game and that means hotels for the long stay and every meal while they're there and the bowl apparel, and then the staff is travel there and they pay for the band. It was $2.16 million in expenses. Their bowl payout was $2.12 million through the conference. It cost the Indiana Hoosiers $40,000 to go play the Gator Bowl. It was not profitable in the least.
It's about half the schools in college football make money, and some make tons of money. You hear that, well, college football, yeah, it does. For the most part, college football keeps the lights on, but a lot of schools, it doesn't. So you're talking about the upper echelon of universities that, when it comes to the point, money becomes the overarching.
And one thing that does help money, of course, is there are these conference networks now that didn't exist for the most case 5-10 years ago. And so that's an extra minimum $20-25 million for a lot of these teams in money funneled through the conference. Now, let's say these other conferences go forward, even if you take a 10-game schedule instead of, say, 13 games, I assume that would mean less TV money for everybody. But like we're seeing in the other sports, you do get some TV money even if you're not selling tickets.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down. You know, we joked around about it last week, but now that it looks like Fox might be airing some XFL games, Dwayne Johnson buying the league, Jay Glazer will now be the commissioner and head coach of one of the XFL franchises. Jay, you're going to be a busy guy, man.
No, I told you, I'm the vice president of stuff.
Oh, well, you're going to do that too. I mean, you got to wear a lot
that's
of hats,
it.
Jay.
Vice president of stuff, that's it. Vice president of stuff. consulting capacity. Vice president of stuff.
That's the big gig to have, is being a consultant. Like, that's the one job I wish I could have, because I think, what do? You make a phone call and you're done for like 2 weeks. That's it.
Sign me up.
All right. So obviously this is not the National Football League, but clearly this is going to have big goings on with what the NFL does. What's your takeaway, what you saw from college football today?
You know, look, I kind of tend to agree with the guys, thinking it's safer for them to be in an environment where they are, you know, they have some restrictions and they have more guidelines on what they can and can't do. When you don't have this in place and guys don't have to follow certain guidelines and aren't constantly, you know, reminded, aren't constantly being told to be careful for everybody else, just because you don't have a season doesn't mean they're just going to stay home, you know, and I do think it's a lot safer when people around others that can try and make sure that you're more responsible. But again, we keep talking about this virus, man. It has its own set of rules. Like, we really don't know what we don't know when it comes to this. And I understand, obviously, the medical part of it. I wish, you know, my gripe is always the lack of information and the lack of how much misinformation's out there. And man, it's the Red Sox pitcher didn't go on IR recently with his heart issue. Mm-hmm. I would have known that, you know, 10-20% of those who have the virus have, you know, myocardia. I wouldn't have known any of that. And, you know, there's so much being told. You know, friends of mine who've had COVID, they're being told completely, like, different things from different doctors, from literally one side of the spectrum to another. I had one friend who tested positive. Doctor said, hey, you're good to go. You can go to the epicenter now. You can't get it again. I had another friend who had it. Doctor said, hey, you could definitely get this again. You could get another strain of it. You know, don't really buy into the antibody test. The point is we don't know what we don't know with this thing. The only thing that I'm saying, in my opinion here, is the more structure you have, where they put structure in place for you to resist the temptation to go off and do your own stuff, is probably better.
When you take the NFL into account now, seeing Major League Baseball, they had to have a pause, and now you're seeing college football. Some schools are going to try to play, and some schools aren't going to play.
Well, baseball has done some of these players have done dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they really have. They've done dumb, selfish stuff. And what the NFL has a leg up on everybody is they've been able to see the mistakes that other people have made, the selfishness or the bonehead decisions they've made to go out and party, to go to a strip club, you know, for the NBA and baseball. And they've been able to use it as a teaching tool for themselves. You know, they've been able to now, it's not just the coaches, but these players It's getting, I can tell you this, it's getting really ingrained home. Every time something happens in baseball, football shows it to all their players, the entire team. And there's, you know, probably a lot, again, I can't speak for baseball, I don't cover it, but I know there's definitely a lot of pressure inside NFL locker rooms to be smart and to not go off and party and, you know, sneak away from the team and, you know, go somewhere else so they can go out and nightclub. Now, let's see what happens during the season. That's right now, because training camp, man, they're, training camp, you're usually, man, they just, you know, grind you. You don't have much time to go out and do what you want. But, you know, during the season when they have more free time, you know, hopefully they will not be selfish.
Jay, this is Steve. Can you talk about the effects of if there's college football in the spring? There's the obvious sentiment that the NFL prospects would just sit out. But also we're hearing conferences saying, no, for player safety, we're not going to play now. Shouldn't it be player safety considered to not put the students through two football seasons in 9 months?
Well, you know, I think it's by conference, right? It's certain conferences go in the fall, certain conferences go in the spring. I don't think you can have two of them, but, you know, also you're right. Like, people who are going to basically lose their senior year of playing because of how it times up with the draft, this is going to have just massive, massive implications. Unless the NFL says, you know what, let's push everything back to June, or draft. And even then, man, it's they're not going to be able to do as much work as you normally would. They're not going to be able to. It's just a smaller window. But again, we're at different times. It's nothing's ideal here. You know, it's not like you can call up the virus headquarters and go, "Come on, virus, you're killing us. You're screwing us over here. You know, let's change up the rules here a little bit. We can't do that. There's nobody manning the virus headquarters."
Well, I know the vice president of stuff should be manning the virus headquarters. That's
there
what
you go,
doing
vice
with
president
the
XFL. Of stuff. Vice President of Stuff, I'd be on it.
Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox Insider with us here, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And now, one of the stories
today. I give
today,
people accurate information, at least I always try to.
That's
unlike
true.
What we're getting.
Yeah, you would be completely accurate. I mean, you'd be doing a lot of other things too, but you'd be completely accurate.
Damn so, right.
Hey, let's get to this because this was kind of interesting today. Coming off all the stories and COVID-19, that some Cowboys players are now trying to form their own training camp bubble before on-field practices start on Friday. This was reported earlier today. You know, players are going to report, set up their summer home next to the Cowboys practice facility, and there's going to be kind of a training camp bubble for some of these players before the practices start. Can some kind of bubble work in the NFL, Jay? I mean, can this work even though it's not? We're not taking everybody like the NBA and putting them all in one spot?
Listen, the more people stay just amongst themselves, the better they are. So if you have five people that do it, it's better than having zero. If you have 50 people do it, it's obviously better than what it'd be. And that's, you know, the Saints are trying to do a similar thing. I'll tell you this, you know, they always were looking to build an Omni down there. It's incredible. It's a five-star, you know, hotel. If I was one of the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be over there also. And yeah, it's everything's right there. The facility is, man, there's really not much like it, you know, compared to anything else. They're as these teams kind of expand their practice facilities, like the Vikings have done, the Cowboys have done, man, there's so much there for you. And I think it's just smart. I think it's smarter that they could give them the quote unquote option. You know, I mean, I say quote unquote option because it's voluntary with quotes around it, but it's smart to do because it just minimizes exposure. Here's the bottom line, guys. Whoever's healthiest this year wins. That's what happens.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. And his new title, Vice President of Stuff. It's going to be in his Twitter bio. You can ask him all kinds of questions there. Don't forget vetsandplayers.org, the website. Unbreakable, doing great things as always. Jay, as always, buddy, thanks so much. Be good.
Thanks,
talk to you soon.
Appreciate you.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Greetings and welcome inside hour three of the program. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Mike off tonight, special delivery Steve DeSager in for Mike, and tonight has been some kind of night so far in the NBA. We're going to get to college football and President Trump appearing on Fox Sports Radio earlier today. But thankfully, the NBA is going, okay, Okay, well, we did this whole thing and invited all these teams to the bubble just to get Zion into the playoffs. Well, obviously that didn't work because he shows up out of shape and they're not playing him and they're eliminated now from playoff contention. But what we are getting is an incredible run for the 8-9 spots in the Western Conference. And one of the big things was which teams were going to show up and take the bubble as an opportunity and which teams are going to show up and say, we're ready to go home. Now, clearly you can look so far that teams like Memphis are ready to go home and they had a huge lead and they can't hold on to the eighth spot. Phoenix and Portland, there you're seeing this as a rebirth and a restart. And the Pelicans and the Kings, okay, we're ready to go home. This has been some kind of run. And tonight, we saw two big results. We saw the Suns win. They're now 7-0 in the bubble. And the Portland Trail Blazers, thanks to 61 from Damian Lillard, including a crazy-ass three with a minute left to go where the ball bounces off the back of the rim straight up in the air and through one of those 40-foot shots that Damian Lillard loves to take, and I'm sure that's why he's LaMelo Ball's hero. Well, he could take him. I can take him.
LaMelo's at half court, yes.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm going to be back further from you. The Blazers now have control of the eighth spot, and Memphis and Phoenix are tied one game below them for the ninth spot. San Antonio Spurs are still right there. They are a half game back there of Phoenix and Memphis. So this is going to all come down to the final couple of days.
And not playing
so incredibly
an
exciting.
Even number of games. We got to point this out. And yeah, the NBA brought this up before the bubble. Eight games to finish the regular season started. Portland is 34-39, one game to go. Memphis is 33-39, one game to go. Phoenix is 33-39, one game to go. They will finish playing an unequal number of games. It'll just go by winning percentage. The Portland Trailblazers have a massive advantage because they got one extra win in March under the gun before the league shut down. That's really what it comes down to.
If you're the Lakers, you can't be excited about playing any of these teams. You can't be excited about
Memphis.
Listen, you want Memphis or you want the Spurs somehow to find a way to do this. You don't want Portland. You don't want Phoenix. Now, of these two teams, let's just say, look, Portland and Phoenix clearly have been two best teams, right? And if the NBA said today they're gonna award a bubble MVP.
What is
and
that?
Like, there's going to be a bubble all-NBA team. I'm sure someone's going to get money for it somehow.
Who's the MVP of the NFL preseason? Do they give that out every August?
Yes, it is. Usually it's a Jet.
C period and virus, I believe, is going to be on the trophy.
and the all-NBA team is going to be all Blazers and Suns anyway, so what does it really matter? Lillard will be the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it's going to go. And, you know, look, Booker will get some votes as well.
What about Zion and his 15 minutes a game? Honorable mention?
Oh,
no?
How mad is the NBA going? We did this whole thing for you, and you can't even show up. It's like saying, hey, we're going to have a surprise birthday party for a guy, and I'm going to let you use my house and whatever you want. You put stuff up. You nail stuff to the wall. I'm not thrilled with, but okay. You spray paint stuff going on. I'm not thrilled with, but okay. And then the guy doesn't show up. Look what you did to my house for
That's
this guy
right.
He doesn't even show up.
And
this
because we invited New Orleans, then we had to invite Sacramento. That meant an extra month of all these meals and hotel stay and laundry. Look what you made us do.
All the meals we had to pay to give people in
That's
Sacramento
right.
to get.
That whole stupid chicken sandwich thing that was tweeted out, that was just the first meal when you arrived. The rest of it was four-star stuff.
But clearly, of the two teams, between Portland and Phoenix, which have been the stories of the bubble, if you're the Lakers, you'd rather play Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is in a hot run right now, and look, they're playing teams that are not playing some of their stars. They're playing teams that have sat back. Phoenix, look, they're a great story. They're awesome. But Portland can be deadly. All right, you're talking about a backcourt of Lillard and McCollum that can take over a short series. Melo is suddenly playing like he's 28 years old and he can move around and he's hitting shots. And look, the Blazers are really scary right now. The Suns are hot. And I think if it comes down to a series between the Suns and the Blazers will wind up winning that series. But if you're the Lakers, you are rooting for not the Blazers because that's the team you don't want, because the Lakers are going to be trying to get back to where they are, but it's going to be very, very difficult when you have that many guys that can score. You have a couple of mismatched players. That will make it really tough. That's the one team the Lakers don't want to see is Portland. Still got to be a ways to go to get there, but well, more and more it looks like they're going to be in the 8-9 game, and that's going to be the team that winds up coming. I would be shocked if Portland isn't the team that comes out of here now.
For the Phoenix Suns to actually steal the 8 seed, it would probably take a 10-game winning streak, right? The 7 in a row that they've won in a bubble, plus Thursday's regular season finale, plus they probably wouldn't be the 8 seed, which means they would have to win Saturday and Sunday both to take it. So they would be coming into a Lakers first-round series, Phoenix versus Lakers. The Suns would be on a 10-game winning streak, potentially. Mm. I still like the Lakers because, A, they finally shot well last night. We mentioned that you couldn't recognize this team the previous 5 games or so. But they looked good last night. Whether they hit the winning shot with Kuzma or not, they actually played well, shot well last night. And at center is DeAndre Ayton, for example. You mentioned the Phoenix roster. Yes, Devin Booker can score 35 a night in a series. We have no doubt about that. But say other matchups, DeAndre Ayton against any big man for the Lakers, it's close to a push, isn't it? JaVale McGee's a better-than-you-think center, and Dwight Howard's been a good find for them off the bench. This is not like, oh, we've got Ayton, and he was such a high draft pick. We're going to not necessarily. And who are the other guy? I mean, Ricky Rubio's still in the league, so there's another Phoenix guy. But half the roster, at least, you've never heard of. That doesn't mean they can't win games. We're seeing that in the bubble. But the Lakers are not scared of Phoenix like they are of Portland and their late-game heroics and the backcourt's ability to each score 30.
Well, and Portland's also been a playoff-tested team the past
last year.
Years.
Yeah.
And these guys have played. Look, you make it to the Western Conference Finals, and Phoenix is a team that's on the rise. But, okay, now suddenly when, hey, this is going to be a really difficult thing, getting used to the atmosphere of the playoffs. Granted, it's a different atmosphere playing in the bubble, but the newness of the playoffs will also be something that doesn't fall in the Phoenix Suns' favor.
This would be the 7th year in a row in the playoffs for the Portland Trail Blazers. Terry Stotts has really, really turned it around. Remember when they, it was almost a decade ago now, Portland, with the team that used to be in the playoffs every year, like the Spurs are now, and then Portland had a couple of back-to-back sub-500 seasons in a city that just loves the Blazers. You know, they don't have Major League Baseball, etc. And now they had that run last year where they actually made it to the conference finals against the Golden State Warriors. It was a great one, a run, and they were a 50-win team. This could be, and I say could, be a first round of Portland against the Lakers. It's almost what a fan would be rooting for nationally, right? That's the matchup.
Yeah, you'd want to see it.
Although right now we have a half game separating these 4 Western Conference teams vying for the 8 seed. And one game to go in the regular season, all playing Thursday night.
And oh, by the way, if you would like, it's a tough day today with college football being postponed in a couple of big conferences, and maybe it's going to get postponed overall. But if you want to see something really great, the Phoenix Suns, before their game today, surprised their starting 5 by having family members announce them at the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. And you can tell nobody knew it was coming. The look on DeAndre Ayton's face when he was announced is like, what the hell is this? And they had family members and friends announce the starting lineup via Zoom that they played over the loudspeaker. You can see by the time they got to the second and third player, they're all mugging it up with each other and all. The players keep going, from Spain, from Spain, from Spain. Oh, my God. That's the Twitter content you should be there for. Watch it. It's about 1.5 minutes in length. It is just an awesome thing to see that. Again, we need some good positive things as well, and that's one of the great things to come out of today was the Phoenix Suns player introduction.
Well, last night we talked about Kyle Kuzma hitting the game-winning shot in the Lakers contest. The Lakers telecast was pointing out, you know how they have these fans in the stands on the video board? Mm-hmm. They're watching the game live. They can't be in Orlando there watching it, but it's not a cardboard cutout. It's actually fans that are viewing the game online. One of those was Kyle Kuzma's mom. They went to her during the game, rooting on her son with her video image among the fans in those 3 rows that they have behind the benches of the video board. And then what do you know? Her son hits the game-winning shot that night. Mm.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online, grab what you need today, and more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com today to get a start on your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So before everything happened with college football today, we found out the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to push their seasons to the spring. President Donald Trump was on Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio earlier today and gave a long-ranging interview on a myriad of subjects, many of them sports-related. And one of the big things he said was talking about the college football season and how the college football season should play. And he used a couple of big trigger words to talk about what it would mean if they couldn't play. Here's the president from earlier today on Fox.
You know, these football players are very young, strong people, and physically, I mean, they're physically in extraordinary shape. So they're not going to have a problem. You're not going to see people, you know, could there be, could it happen? But I doubt it. You're not going to see people dying. And many people get it, and they have, like, kids, they get it. They have the sniffles. Young kids, almost none have a serious problem with it. I mean, literally, you look, I think they said the state of California, almost nobody that's young had a, like zero, had a problem with, meaning a serious problem with this disease. I mean, they get better very quickly if they get it at all. So I think football's making a tragic mistake.
So it would be a tragic mistake if college football didn't play this fall. Now, why is the president so much on sports, and why is he on sports? And he talked about the NFL and the NBA as well, which we'll get to coming up in the show. Why is he so insistent that sports come back and play? Well, there's a big reason for this, and it's really about the entire country, is that I don't think you can argue that from the top down, you talk about from president down to local governments, state governments, down to us who refuse to wear masks and refuse to social distance, it has been a failure with us dealing with the coronavirus. And the reason we are at this point where we may not have college football is because we failed to contain it and we failed to figure it out. And when eventually, when we look for someplace, well, hey, well, why didn't we get this coronavirus taken care of? Who's going to be the person who's responsible? The president. So he knows that if we don't play college football, this is going to look bad for him when it comes down for his reelection prospects coming up in November. And that anytime something gets canceled or postponed or not able to play, this is going to look bad. It's going to reflect on him because it's not going to be, well, look at what's going on. Yes, we can talk about us not wearing masks, but he's going to bear the responsibility because that's the office, that the buck has to stop somewhere. So when you see him talk about how it's a tragic mistake, you have to realize that this is we're talking about a total failure that we have had to deal with the coronavirus. And this is why he wants them to play, because that's a victory for him. Look, politicians, no matter what you say, you can talk about politicians that say X, Y, and Z, but politicians are always concerned with politics everywhere, yeah. Whether you're the president, whether you're the vice president, whether you're the secretary.
And appearances. State, you remember governor? When yes. Pete Carroll and USC won the national title and politicians came out of the woodwork to be on the stage at the national championship celebrations. Politicians who just want to be associated with winning or associated with what's popular. These politicians, for example, didn't even know some of the people on the stage. One politician introduced the USC coach as Pete Carrot, for crying out loud. It is the oldest game in the book for politicians. I understand why you want to be associated with positive things. It gets you reelected. But the same guy who just said, you're not going to have people dying, is the same guy who said the virus is just going to disappear. We can have Easter services, I think. So, okay, take it with a grain of salt.
This is why the Jets don't have politicians hanging around them, because they want to be around winners. Now,
actually, the Jets were associated with this politician, were they not, Mr.
Well,
Ambassador?
Sure. Well, yeah, well, look, Woody Johnson. I don't know. Was Woody Johnson away or being away from the team or with it? I don't know what's worse.
Is that a positive? Oh, also the comment on State of California, which is where you and I live, that nobody young is having problems. Actually, the woman who gives the daily press briefing on all the channels in Los Angeles County, who runs the Department of Public Health, actually had to say in the past week, stop with the parties already, because yeah. The rates of virus cases among the 18 to 29s in Los Angeles County had quadrupled. Some of these people are, in fact, needing to see doctors. This is not just a paper test.
Yeah, no, this is what I mean, that this is a failure, you know, it's a systemic failure all the way down. Look, even California, right, where we live, I thought, okay, certain states are going to do better on it. And what happened? California tried to open up too soon. And I said, boy, I was really surprised at California, but we did it. We opened up too soon. Memorial Day came. Memorial Day was the big weekend where people said, screw it, we're going to go out, we're going to do things, and this is where the second wave of COVID-19 came from. And so this is what it is. So anytime you see a sport not not being able to play, it's not because, well, we have bad leadership at the top of the sports that can't figure it out. It's we're in this situation because none of us have been able to figure out how to deal with COVID-19.
You got to take.
There's been science. There's been ways to do it, but still, for some reason, we can't come together on a pandemic. I mean, that's what's great. I always like to think, hey, when push comes to shove, we'll come together on things. But here's a pandemic that is threatening our way of life, and still, nope, we can't all come together on a pandemic. It's crazy.
Well, this is not, please believe me, this is not at all a political comment. But the person that we just heard from is the person who said months ago, it's just one of two cases. We've got it totally at control. It's going to disappear. This is not a problem. It's mainly in China. You know, when you don't take something seriously, there are consequences to pay in science. If you look at other countries, they actually took it. We brought this up last night. This relates to sports specifically. Countries like Taiwan, next to China, took it very seriously, and theirs was the first baseball league to open this season. South Korea attacked it. I'll give you a great example. There was an office building in South Korea where they had a lot of virus cases. Guess what? Because they took it seriously, they wound up not having to shut down the whole office building. Why? Because instead of telling their people, I don't want the virus test because then the numbers will go up, they actually tested everybody in the building and found out the cases were mainly just on the eighth floor, mainly just on one side of the eighth floor with a call center, and they took care of those people, and the remaining people were allowed to come back to work. Society didn't shut down. You eventually had and have Korean baseball and a full season of it. Germany attacked it, and they got to finish their soccer league. There are example of example. It hurts me as an American to see this year, honestly. And this is not a political comment. It just hurts me that people are not facing facts, that what Jay Glazer said on our show tonight is essentially what we said last night in quoting Dr. Fauci, that the virus sets the timeline. You think you've got it under control? You don't. There's no vaccine for it. Every Sunday night on our show here, we would say two things. One, this is not the end of the world. But two, there's no vaccine for this. Take the virus seriously. And Chris Plank, who's Oklahoma sideline reporter, who may be working Big 12 this year, we'll see, had said at the time, take the virus seriously or else you're risking our football season. And now what are we seeing? Big 10, Pac-12 today say officially they're not playing college football this fall.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.